I got a phone call today from a little old bitty boy from Guatemala, my son. Something to do with his school. He had to push some numbers on the telephone and learn them, you know, so he just called me. How does that sound? That's pretty good. I liked it. That was pretty fun to me. Okay, then. I want to give an opportunity to Brother Jay. Jay Williams, you'll come over. And remind me about those twins. It seems like I did say that to y'all, but I'm going to say it again about those girls that were raised from the dead. I'm going to tell you again because they want me to. So if y'all will, give Brother Jay a couple of minutes. He has something he wants to tell you. And hang on to your chair.
Good evening. We're down to our last evening here with you tonight, and you've heard some pretty good questions this week. I got another one for you.
Mm-hmm.
The other day we were flying in and bumped into this guy in the airport. He had a big Bible under his arm, and you could hear him praying. I'm going to tell him.
Oh, God.
And, you know, I'm not like most of y'all. I didn't just throw my arms around and say, oh, brother, thank God there's a Christian here in this evil world. I kept my mouth shut and waited. I'm very glad now that I did, because as we were getting off the plane, another guy behind him saw the Bible, said something to him. He comes to find out both these guys know everything there is to know about the Bible. And the other fellow asked him if he was a preacher or minister or something. He said, no, he said, I just teach Sunday school every now and then. I'm only studying the Bible for my personal education and edification. I didn't want to hug him then. I wanted to take his head off and find another place to put it. But what all this has been going on, what you've heard, all the questions, all the Word of God, all the truth you've been getting, boils down to one thing. What is your objective? What are you going to do when you walk out of here tonight? What are you going to do in the morning? What are you going to be doing for God next week? Brother David told you story about a little church called Tenesco the other day. Well, he left off a little early, I think, because after those people got together and went to work, you know what happened? I was there for the next service. I intentionally set things up this way. Attendance went up sevenfold. Multiply that times wherever you are. Had another little place called Zacualtipanito.
Yep.
It's a little joy to get to. the same thing. They were just mired down in their little... You know, we're all the same, basically, because we start out, there's fire, there's fresh vision, zeal.
Annoying.
And we go from hot to cold. We can go from hot to hotter. That's God's idea of it. That was a plan. Start a match and start a fire. And one day they were sitting around looking at each other. Man, why are we doing all this fighting and stuff? Let's get together and get this thing. And they had been, a long time trying to get the church building built. And man, they flew together, got that thing up, went out and evangelized. And within a period of a month or two, they had gained like over 100 souls. I was there one day in one service, got 13. Just, it was like stopping by in Walmart. Grab a pack of rubber bands, 13 souls right there, boom. Another one, Tancasuela. I mean, you need to hear these things. I mean, it's great. I love seeing the physical things that God does, but we need to be looking around too at the body as a whole. What's God going to do? Where are we going? What's our vision? What's our objective? And so you might look at this guy right here and say, he's here for the money. He's here because there's a big crowd. There's people from all over the place. I know where this guy goes and drags his family up mountains that will kill half of y'all to go see two people. The message is the same. Same. Let's go get it. Don't matter if it's 2,000 or whatever. This little church called Tancasuela, ever since I've been down there, we've had church under a front porch. It's about 5 feet wide and 20 feet long, and everybody always fit. Even if it was raining, we could all get under there. But see, all these demons that attack the churches where we are after this church too. You just want to ignore it and not fight them. Demons came after this church in Tancasuela, and they shut another church completely down. And these guys got together. They said, hey man, this is getting serious. We better quit fighting and start doing something for God. They had a church building up in no time. It was bigger than the little place where we were before. It doubled. Doubled again. I don't really know what... we've had as many as 150 in that one place just from starting off with three pieces of a family. They've already grown through two buildings right now. You got freedom. You have the knowledge, the opportunity, everything is here. But what are you going to do with it? It'd be a shame to wait till it's too late, wait till the enemy's got a knife to your throat, start fighting. You know, we all like to ask questions, and everybody's got their little cute pat answers for, oh, what you going to say when you get before Jesus? Jesus said, go.
That's right.
Jesus told a story about a man that had two sons. He told them to go work in his field. First one's like most people. Probably 90-95% of people. Oh, yeah, Lord, I'll go. Daddy, I'm gone. Oof. As soon as he walks off, forget it. It's kind of like the way we are when we get in worship and feel the presence of God and we get so excited. Oh, Lord, yeah, I'll do anything. I'll go anywhere. But the same people say that after service. I'm talking to them. They're saying, well, I would go there, but I would go do this and serve God. I would get into ministry, but it goes from will, sure, everything to I would, but I might do this, but not that. There was the other son. Said, no way. He fought it. Bowed up against it. But later realized, hey, I need to get in gear and do what Daddy wants. He went up and put his hand to the plow. And you know, the story just kind of ends there. The father didn't come back and say, hey, why didn't you do... What, you know, God, what are we going to do here? What are you doing? You just... No. See, when we get to the end of this race, there's not going to be any more questions. We're going to get the answer to the result of our life. You're either going to stand before God and hear, well done, good and faithful servant, or depart from me. I never knew you. And the choice is yours.
Hallelujah.
I'm telling you, everything that you're hearing this week comes out of love for you. Every bit of it. Everything comes out of a heart that wants to see you succeed. Everything is to get you to quit seeing the walls that are around you and start seeing through them, around them, over them, seeing what God wants you to do in this life. Amen? And I want to encourage you. The ones that will step out and grab that thing and go with it, you're going to see stuff that you've never seen before in your life. How do you know that? Because I'm seeing it. No better, no worse, just like you. Just one day decided, hey, I'm going to quit living for me, and I'm going to start living for Jesus. And let's let this garbage go to the side, and let's do something for God. There it is. What's your objective? Jesus bless y'all.
Hallelujah. Alrighty. I think I'm ready to roll now. Y'all ready to roll? Alrighty, then let's turn over here to Psalms chapter 84. Thought I better preach one full message out of the King James so y'all might think I'm still saved. Hallelujah. 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 Psalms 84. I guess I better tell you all that story since I'm thinking about it still, because Brother Steve brought it up so many times. I don't want to be disobedient, boy. I want to be obedient. Get all this stuff laid out where I can see it. So many pages of miracles. You haven't made it very far with y'all on it, but that's okay. Another day, maybe. But there'll be more pages then. Thank you for letting us come. That's the first thing. I don't apologize for being serious about the gospel. Like you said, my goal is not here to really offend you to where you don't want to be part of the gospel. My offense that I bring is against the demon that's trying to destroy you and rob you from the power of God. That's what I'm after. But I want to tell you, thank you for letting me come here and shout with you. I'm leaving early in the morning. Y'all, I'm going to leave you with it. Getting on the jet, headed south. My little boy told me today that they did their little run. My little 7-year-old boy, he had to run several miles with my wife today. And it was 95 degrees there. Yeah. So there's going to be a 60 degree increase in temperature. stepping off the plane. Okay, that'll be fun. I'll sweat with the best of them. All right, I want to look at this Psalms 84, but first I better read that. I better, just so you'll know, I still know what I'm talking about. John chapter 8. You ain't got to turn there unless you want to. Verse 32, it says, "You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free." We're looking for freedom, and it's found in truth. It's not found in gimmicks. There's no gimmick. It's a real freedom. It's done. It's a tedious thing. It's go to the cross. Stay at the cross. There's no shortcut there. I wish there was. I've been looking all my life for one. There's not one. There's just not a shortcut to the power of heaven. There's ways. There's guys like myself around that are taking the time to seek it out and hunt it out and find it and tediously and painstakingly get a hold of it and try to keep it. And I think maintenance is harder than actual looking for it. I really believe that the maintenance part, because the power of heaven and the truth, when you grab a hold of it, it just excels you. Zoom! You just take off like a rocket. And then all of a sudden you go to these plateaus and up and up and up and these different levels, whatever you want to call it. I don't care what you call it. It's just steady increase for me. I'm never happy very long in one place. I like to keep moving. When it's come to seeking out God and things like that, but I'm very happy where I'm at working. I've been there 20 years, and my plan is another 20. So we'll see what God's plan is in destiny for us. But I really fight success. That's a good problem to have. It is, but it's also more painstaking to keep the power flowing. I want you to know that. Because when you plant the seed and the tree is little, the root system is little and the amount of food to bring it to the top is little. But when the tree grows and begins to bear much fruit, and it can cast shades and more birds and things come into it and it's more responsible and all that stuff starts taking place, takes a lot more nutrition to keep that thing green and healthy and flying right. You understand me? Now, I'm telling you, that's the way it is. But so far, we've been pretty good about staying with the flow. And so in Jesus' name, we'll keep that up. I told the Holy Ghost, whenever I finally got to the end of the rope, that where I saw finally what I needed to have, and it was in a rainstorm, sitting there with busted tennis shoes and blood leaking out my feet. I told him, "I do want your power and your wisdom, but if I'm not going to be able to stand under the resources it brings and the success it brings, I'd rather stay out here with busted tennis shoes. I'm happy here." And he began to move us along. So there's going to be, along with the power increase, there's going to be a way to maintain my personal self also. Okay, so that's what That's what drives me and pushes me to work with you and fuss at you a lot and all that, is because I know that the increase is there for all of us. Doesn't matter who it is. But we got to learn how to maintain it along the way. Because I'm telling you, I get around lots of different fellas, and lots of guys have arrived and they're not going to go anywhere else. And it makes me sad. That's their business, you know. I disagree with it personally. But as far as I'm concerned, this planet is a transition for the right thing, for the real thing. It's just a place of passing through to get us to where we can really know how to worship God. Okay, I want you to look at verse 1 of 84, Psalms. How aimable are the tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. See, freedom is there. It's inside the tabernacle of God, and I will possess it. You, if you hang out long enough with God, you'll see a man that's truly free. Man, I am free, and I'm really happy and content. I'm overflowing with joy and peace. I don't care about your nitpicking me apart and taking my little phrases and disagreeing with them and establishing your little lifestyle because you disagree with what I said about this or that or the other. And just knock yourself out. Stay there. Slow bleed to death. It's not going to offend me. It just is not going to offend me. It'll offend me if I get to heaven and was supposed to tell you the truth and I didn't. Then I'm in trouble. But these tabernacles of God, they're amiable, they're pleasant, they're lovely. Even though our flesh sometimes does not agree with what I'm saying. That's not important. What's important is to obey the Holy Ghost. My soul longs. I'm telling you, I can't tell you how thirsty I am, and I'm flowing in the middle of a river. The powers of heaven are blasting us. The dead are raised. I mean, listen to the stories these guys are telling y'all. I mean, they're one after another. We could sit here for a long, long, long time and keep y'all just amazed at the powers of heaven. In the middle of all of that, I still feel thirst for fasting and prayer and seeking the Lord and crucifying the flesh. And I am so happy that it's there. Because it is the hand of God that touches the heart of a man to seek Him. But it's also the hand of a God that you must hear that God will not always strive with a man. He'll let you have your way if you want it. He will lift in a minute. You be that adamant, He'll let you have your way. But He'll also let you eat what you take. But I'll tell you, for me personally and the fellas I work with, we're on each other all the time and talking, encouraging one another. And it's fun. Because, see, I got a whole bunch of lists of miracles out here. This one is a fax that came from Australia in our office. And it's just a whole list of miracles that they found out about after we left. And this one here, there's a whole bunch of them to read, but this one lady suffered. I think it says she's 50 years old. Hip problems, disorder. She had 6 years of serious pain. Okay, let's look at it like this. The lady's been having pain. She can seek God for herself. You can too. You can do it. Every one of us can. There's no, in my opinion, God give it to any man or woman, if we'll go to Him and ask Him for it and stay with it. The thing is consistency that brings truth. The thing is permanence. The thing is confidence and faithfulness that brings about the truth. All right? And me personally, I long after God. I even faint. Man, I want to be like Jesus. My main prayer is for wisdom, knowledge, understanding. Those three things, I pray. I mean, I am on that. I'm going to be filled with the knowledge of God. I am going to be. This is what we know now and the knowledge and truth we have in us now. In years to come, I'll look back and say, boy, I don't say I existed like that. I'm going to be that way. And there's another thing called the ability of the Lord Jesus to kill devils. I will have it. The ability Jesus had to walk in, and I mean manifestation, just fly off. I really enjoy it. I really enjoy it because we get into a lot of manifestations ourselves, and I like it. This lady here with pain for 6 years, when she fell out, it was in this revival meeting, when she fell out on the floor, she fell on that hip because there were so many people falling, there was not enough people to catch everybody. And I mean, it was just like a wave just whoosh through of the ocean, but it was the Holy Ghost Spirit just blowed the people down. Well, she fell on that hip that had been aggravated for 6 years. And the pain, even though the Holy Ghost is all over this lady, the pain was searing. Just hurt, just searing pain on her. She was laying and she couldn't move. She was stuck to the ground on the side where the pain was. And she couldn't move. Nor could she talk to anybody. Well, that doesn't sound like God, does it? Let me finish. So it says right here that after being on the floor for a long, long time, and I had already left because I get pretty wiped out after about an hour of this praying business. It just slams me. And I'm just useless anymore. So my wife towed me out to the car, dumped me in the thing, and away we went. But this lady is on the floor, stuck to the floor, in serious pain for several hours. And then she just said, in her mind, not outside, in her mind, she said, God, this thing is, I can't tolerate it. You know what she said? In her mind, help me, Jesus. Bang! Instantly it left. And it had never come back yet. After 6 years. That's fun. There is a reason for you to seek the Lord. There's a reason for you to long after the courts of heaven. And it's not for your personal gratification. The truth is not for you, it's for us. Now, it's right for all of us to go after the truth, grab a hold of it and hang on and just grab it. I just eat as much of it as we can because the Lord Jesus is the bread of life. The truth is for the purpose of changing nations. And you start with one person at a time. Like Brother Jay said, I don't talk about myself a whole lot when it comes to my commitment or... Because it would just be too much pride sounding to me. I just ain't got time for that. I don't need a bigger ego. I got enough as it is. I don't care about your appraisal or your approval or your anything else you can give me. I care about the Holy Ghost. I really do. But I am determined in me that if it's one person wants to hear the gospel, I am going to be just as passionate, just as heated up, just as intolerant to the devil, as if it doesn't matter if it's thousands or one. It's the same to me. I don't see any difference in it. I don't go, well, you know, I've been studying all day. You know, there's only one person here. Jeez, I can wait till there's somebody to talk to. You prideful demon. No, sir. God brought me out there. His Holy Ghost brought in who He wanted in there. So I do what I'm supposed to. I light a fire on the devil. In the name of Jesus. My heart and my flesh cry out to the Lord. To the living God. Boy, I tell you, I am just boiling inside crying out to God to do more. I want to see more. You know a little bit about what we do. Because I've come here three times and I've told you stuff. You know a little bit about what we do. What you've heard me say is nothing but a little bit of what we do. I am into it, buddy. I am eat up with it. And I like it. I like it when my greatest, most powerful enemy looks at me and it's got that look in his eye. Of fear. I like that. When you come walking up and you know him, he's standing there, you know him, and you're looking at him, and you're walking up to him, and you're not afraid. And then you see him, he's got that staunch look, you know, that demonic, you know, all them hordes of hell standing there, and the closer you get, the more they start shooting off from him. Because the anointing's coming. The glory of heaven that surrounds you. It's your permit. It's just shooting out of you all over the place. And these demons are so afraid, by the time you get up to him, fear grips them. How can you be that way, Brother Hogan? Read it to you one more time. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. It's not just a heart thing when once you've been born again. You've got to get that flesh dominated. You got to get that flesh in line with that Word just like your heart's in line with it. You got to tell that thing, you old sloppy slouch, you no good thing, you're going to line up to the Word of God. And you got to start working on it till it fits in that mold God wants us in, no matter what shape it looks like. It's got to be cut down till it fits what God wants. In the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 3, I'll tell you. The sparrow found its place. A little bird that can't even think found its place. Do you remember the teaching of Jesus where we're worth more than many sparrows to the Father, but yet we believe that birds have something over us? They don't either. They got nothing on me. I got something on them. They submit to me. Bible says they have to. Them demons came up my yard before. Well, the bird itself is not a demon, but the witchcraft is. Tecolotes. Hoot owls. These demons change themselves into all forms, these witch doctors. So they come into these flocks of hoot owls, and they come there, and they make this ruckus out in the yard, and whoever's house, whosever yard they light in, somebody dies. And so they come in our yard, you go out there, all my neighbors come over, they're sorrowful, you know, there's no way to stop, we're sorry. But them tecolotes came here, you're a dead man. And we're sorry about that. I said to them, I said, you're telling me because a bunch of goofy hoot owls come in my yard, I'm a dead man. Listen, we know that God is with you. A bunch of religious devils. And we know, you know, that you know God. But you see, this here has been around for generations. There has never been a power that can stand against this thing. It has forever been this way, and that's the way it is. Here's your answer. Let me tell you how to do it. Simple, sensitive to the people. Culturally acceptable. And of course, politically correct. Here's what you say. Well, whoever thought up them demons are going to have to rethink, because the Holy Ghost is fixing to make a new chapter starting today. Because there ain't nobody dying at my house. Them birds are going to leave, and they ain't going to take nobody's spirit with them. That's all I got to tell you. They do not have the right to come in my house and take anybody's spirit. Because our spirit is given to the blood of Jesus. It's hung on the cross, and we are absolutely washed by the blood of Jesus. And ain't no stupid witch doctor changing to a bird going to come take us anywhere. That's it. Now, y'all leave me alone. And they're all... By their response, you can tell I was politically correct, culturally sensitive, and just, you know, downright just a good fella. I didn't die. I'm still here. To the dismay of even some of the brothers I work with. But that's okay. I guess I should tell you I like to do things that are kind of strange sometimes. Strange to you. Fun to me. Heard about this cave where they go and they block themselves in. This is fun to me. These black magic witch doctors, they go in these caves and they stay in there for a month at a time, prayer and fasting, and when the demon manifests, they make this covenant with him, and they do all sorts of junk, blood covenant stuff. And they get all this power and stuff, So I thought it would be a good idea to go in there and just rob their altars. Well, in the first place, you don't agree with me going in that cave. The second place, you don't agree with me robbing altars. In the third place, you don't want me touching that money. It's devil's money. Well, like I said, I'm such a culturally sensitive young man, and I like to stay politically correct. I don't like to ruffle anybody's feathers except the devil's. I thought, well, this would be a good idea. So I go up in there. Carry all these brothers come, because now they've been saved for a long time. But they tell me, Brother David, listen. We rarely say anything to you. But don't you think you need to let this cave alone? I mean, this has been in the devil's category and territory, in a place of his source of power and contact with planet Earth, humanoids, for as long as we have memory, for generations. And I looked at them guys. I said, you're going to tell me that Jesus died on the cross, God killed his son, set, after all these years of y'all being bound up, all your family being ripped off of these black magic demonized devils, you're gonna balk here and say they've got more power than my God does? You guys need to go to hell, in my opinion. Well, that stopped them from talking. Here again, I was being culturally sensitive to the fellas. Politically correct. Just minding my own business. Because my business is the destruction of the devil. My business is to make sure my flesh and my heart are just completely possessed with the idea of the powers of God. And I'm just longing after God. Just looks like all the time I'm fixing to just blow up. Fun thing is, I don't blow up. People around me that are sluggard, slow-bellied, unfaithful demons, now they do. So I went in that cave. I had me a flashlight. They would not go with me. I was by myself. What'd I say, business? They want to believe in a devil more than God. That's their business. Like y'all, same thing. I don't like it. But it's y'all's business. So there we go. I'm walking around. I found an altar in this little room. It was a room that God built it, and the demons were using it for an altar. I went in there, had me a little sack. Got the money. Hung it on my belt, got my flashlight, and went to another one looking for another one. Went in this place. It was really hard to get through, but I made it. Got in it. It opened up to be a pretty good-sized little cavern or room. It was just completely, the whole room was covered in tarantulas. So what do we do now? Indiana Jones was back out of here. Because he's a sissy. So I'm thinking. Look at all them spiders, I'm thinking. Oh no, I saw it. It was over there. It was an altar over there. They got all these spiders to go by. So you just start walking. Go over there, you rake in all this money, put it in a bag, tell them spiders, you know, I ain't here to bother you guys. It ain't nothing personal. Don't be messing with me. Boy, the eeriness and the feeling of these demons, it's just awesome. It's just, oh, there's nothing better than that feeling. There is nothing better than that feeling. See, you want the airwaves clear where you feel good. The rain's gone. The sun's out. It's warm. Got your little flowers up. Everything's pretty. You feel good. 6666. No, that's not what we want. We want to be so aggressive against the devil that the breath of hell is singeing your hair. I mean, it's so close to the heat of the furnace of hell that you're just burning from it. That's right. That is fun. Can't believe the calories you burn. I mean, your body's just lit up, boy. Got that feeling, it just crushes you, trust to just, oh, that feels good, don't it? Just go through there, had a whole sack of money. Curse the place. Ask Jesus for the blood of Jesus that never again would they ever have contact with the netherworld, with the devil and all of the demons and so forth. And that the glory of God, as soon as they knelt down to the devil, would just knock them out and just save them and fill them with the Holy Ghost. So we took the money and went and bought Bibles with it. I stole it from the devil. He ain't going to do nothing with it anyway. It's just going to sit there and rot. So, see, look at verse 4. Blessed are they that dwell in the house of the Lord. I'm telling you, I am a blessed individual. Everything I touch is blessed. Everything, the ideas I have are from God. I'm blessed. Everything that touches me and hooks to me that's godly gets blessed. Every individual that touches me with a serious attitude for getting nations saved and has a right heart after God, they are blessed. You can't stop the blessings of God from overtaking me. Because we're after the heart of God is why. It's not who I am, how I go about it. You would do a better job. But like I keep telling you every night, you're not there. You're better than me. You know more Bible than I do. You have better ideas. But you're just not there doing the job. The best thing I can get out of you is to criticize me when I come here. Well, I'm really after you here since this is my last night, aren't I? I really am. Because verse 4, it'll never change. It says right here, blessed are they that dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter if you're in that cave with them warlocks. It doesn't make any difference if you're laying hands on this lady who's been sick for 6 years with pain. It doesn't matter if it's any one of them people that Jay was talking about, these problems. I mean, everywhere, God's exploding our work. That's just the way it is. Did you see how I went right around? I was going to be an obedient, good little boy and forgot all about it already. Okay, here's what we'll do. We'll do it right now. You know what would happen to the plane if I got on that thing in the morning and all of a sudden realized I didn't tell y'all about the twin girl? Try and try to be good, and you can't be it because you're just the way you are. Daniel, here we go back in Daniel again. Oh my. Let's see here. What have we done? We got Daniel out of the lion's den one night. We got old Sennacherib. We got him beat up. Let's throw a little Holy Ghost water on some strange demonic fire tonight. How's that? Will that work? Because see, it's the truth that kept them boys alive in that furnace. It didn't have to do with who their parents was. It was the gospel that did that. I'm telling you, this thing is funny. See, this thing about these two girls, they got themselves all in a mess because they contacted a disease. And this disease killed them. After a few days, they died. You understand? It's two of them, and they were dead. Now, it's a law in Mexico that you have to bury the dead within 24 hours. Because there's no embalming, there's nothing like that, so you have to bury them right away. So it's a matter of digging a hole and throwing, chunking them in there and, you know, covering them up. But the problem was this disease was so rampant, there were so many people dying with this plague, they couldn't dig the holes fast enough. You got me? So they're stacked up in a stack. There's a line. The ones that's going to be buried, they're in a line. It isn't by family, it isn't by money. You can't get them moved. It's a line. You got everybody. So what? You got jungle, you got heat. So what you have to do is you cover everybody with lime. Even though there's deterioration, all that, it kills disease. It stops the thing from getting airborne and going out and getting somebody else. Y'all with me? So these two girls are the daughters of a widow lady. And she loved Jesus. So she hikes all day long. After she was with her kids when they died, so she was trying to get them raised from the dead, and it didn't happen, so she had to go and do all this burial stuff to get it, so whenever the time came for her kids, they'd get buried like everybody else. Okay? This is a sister, a widow. She didn't have any help. So it took her all day that evening to get over to where the pastors were. So it's the morning of the second day. And these guys are in prayer and fasting, in a fast. And so they were caught up in the middle of this fast. Well, at first they didn't want to let her in. The way women are, especially widow women, where we live, is they will not draw attention to themselves. And so they'll sit there ever how long it takes for somebody to notice that they're there. And so that takes a while sometimes, especially when everybody's fasting, praying, seeking God and all that. So they noticed her finally. By that time, it was the end of the second day. So they told her, just stay here. We'll go over in the morning. All right, the urgency of the thing is both of her daughters are dead. If you was to come to me and I tell you I'm tired, let me go to sleep, I'll get up in the morning and go with you, you would ignite. I think the professional Christian term is manifest. All of a sudden, your great urgency of wanting your babies raised from the dead would turn into demonic activity and want to claw my eyeballs out. But not so with the people I work with. She said, okay. Sat right down and started in that fast with them. They got up in the morning, whole troop of them, hike all evening, got there in the evening time over there. All right, it's the third day, right, the end of the third day. They get there, and thanks be to the Holy Ghost, the grave diggers were tired, so they didn't dig the holes. So these girls are dead with lime on them for 3 days. These two pastors, there was a whole bunch of elders and everybody else went, but these pastors got straddling them girls, got their feet in the lime dust. One's right there and one's right there, and they call them by name and say, I command you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to rise. Both of the girls came back to life and got up. Yeah. Spitting lime out their mouth. Yeah. Yahoo! There, I told him. You're welcome. I didn't even know this thing had taken place. And the way it is with the people I work with, you're going to not understand this. And I can't tell you that I have it all understood yet. But they don't bother me with good or bad reports. They just don't. They just tell them, Jay, I left my Bible one night at church. Tell them. Give him that microphone and tell that story. You're not going to believe this. Won't believe this. It's not my doings. Tell them, Brother Jay. Come on. Go ahead.
Do you remember where we were? Was it Tepa Chica?
Seems like it, yeah.
Yeah. Service over with, fire, foul, and all that good stuff. Then we came separately. Brother David had already taken off. There was a Bible left on the table that they used for a pulpit. And somebody looked over and they kind of flipped the cover back and looked at it. And, whose Bible is that? You know, and they start looking around and see who didn't have one. I said, well, you know, a guy picks this thing up. He's looking at it. And I said, I think it's Brother David's Bible. Man, he threw that thing down on the table. And they got back and they all just sat there in awe of it and looked at it. Wouldn't touch it. Not one of them.
That's right. See? So their opinion of me is quite high. If I leave my hat hanging on the thing, they'll leave it there till I come back and get it. They won't touch nothing. I'm serious. You should take note of some of this stuff. The anointing is a serious thing. And these people fear it. They revere it. Even my enemies are that way. Think of that. It's amazing, isn't it? That's why we get people raised from the dead. Because the anointing is real. It's tangible. It's something that you... I mean, I'm telling you, there's things happen to me in our work that I would probably just... You wouldn't... Because I can't bring a scripture and verse for you for it, you'll get mad at me. But there's times that you cannot approach me. Not even my own men can approach me. Did you know that? Isn't that something? The awesome power of God comes down in a cylinder form around me. You won't penetrate it. You get knocked out. Doesn't matter who you are. So these people are afraid of the anointing. It's amazing, isn't it? And the dead rise. To you, just another preacher. That's fine. Hey. Daniel 3:9. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, King, live forever. Now look here, this guy's done set himself up as a god, done built himself a statue. He's got it out there, it's made out of all this gold and junk. He's got all these instruments, and everybody in the whole world's got to bow to his image. Well, I'm not going to do that. I am not going to bow to the golden calf of the United States of America. I refuse to. I will not bow to the golden image of Mexico. Each country has their way and has their images. Each country has their political maneuvering to control you and manipulate you. They have their social lifestyle to get you wrapped up in. They have their monetary system to engulf you. And to keep you dominated right on through your life. I openly defy the thing. Go tell your king, your fire can't burn me. I curse it by the blood of Jesus. The Bible says, King, you have made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kind of music, and fall down and shall worship this golden image. The days come in America when you're going to be ordered to fall down and worship the image. It may not be a gold statue sitting out in front of your house, but you will be ordered. It's not very far away anymore. It used to be, but it's not anymore. It says right here, whoever don't fall down and worship that thing will be cast into the burning fiery furnace. Verse 11, verse 12 says, there's certain Jews out there. These are the friends of Daniel. Y'all remember me? Y'all, some of y'all was here and heard me talking about how Daniel defied the king's table and did all that stuff. And finally, his attitude of faith finally ended him up in the lion's den. Well, these three boys that decided to stand with Daniel, their faith is going to inevitably put them in this furnace. The guy said, you've set these guys over the affairs of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the king said, and they have not regarded the king. They serve not the gods, nor worship the golden image that you've set up. I want you to look at verse 13. It says right there in verse 13 that Nebuchadnezzar, his rage and fury, I want you to know, the moment you cross threads with Babylon, and you decide to stand for the Holy Ghost anointing, and you decide to be that one person that wants to do what God wants, rage and fury will be your reward at the first. I could sit here for a few minutes and talk about y'all's little jack-o'-lantern devils, your Christmas tree demons, your little Easter bunny jumping devils, things that have come from paganism, and I could really blow you up where some of your head would pop, slam off your shoulders. I'm telling you, church, they got you going from one thing to the next. You're bowing by giving your assets and your money and everything. They got you already desensitized to it. I'm telling you, I live out of this country. And when I come back in, I look at you. Everybody's like zombies. And I'm saying, hey, that's wrong. You nut. Come on and shut up. I ain't going. I ain't bowing. Burn. But I don't burn too easy. Lions have a hard time chewing meat. Sennacherib has a hard time killing me. You know why? Proof. Freedom. It's fun. Nebuchadnezzar was Daniel's friend. Nebuchadnezzar was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's friend. He brought these guys up because of the great wisdom and the knowledge and authority of God. God had placed in them by supernatural gifts. Now, because of the politics and the pride of the king and every kind of other demon that's around, these guys having to make... Do you understand who's out there? Every political giant in the world is standing there. And these men of God, they're young men of God... No. I can imagine friends, political friends that they've got, or look at, hey, listen. Let me give you some advice. You're a smart man, and you're doing this, and you're doing that. You can read the signs and the times, and God's on you. Man, what is putting a knee on the ground? You don't have to take the house, just leave it alone. So Nebuchadnezzar, because they wouldn't leave it alone, brought him up there in verse 14. Nebuchadnezzar spoke to him and said, listen guys, is it the truth? See, he never said a stronger statement in his life. Because truthful, is different than worldly standards. And Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, do you not serve my gods and you don't want to... I mean, these are slaves. These are people he brought back. And he brought these people in and he set them up. He spared their lives and he put them in high authority. And it says right here, look at this. He gave them another chance. I appreciate him for doing that. Most devils do that. Now, if you'd be ready at any time you hear all these instruments, because I want you to look at this question he asked them down at the end. He said, if you don't worship my thing, at the same hour I'm going to have to cast you into the burning fiery furnace. Well, he's got to keep his rank, keep his authority. That's no problem. And look at this question. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Who is he, church? He's Jesus. He's Jesus, church. He's Jesus. And it says right here, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. See, if they had just shut up, why do they have to say something? Why couldn't Daniel just shut his windows and worship the Lord in his prayer closet? Why couldn't Elijah and Elisha just shut up? Why couldn't Jesus? Why couldn't Peter and Paul? Because there's a fire burning that can outburn strange fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, we're not. I mean, look at their answer. We don't even need to talk to you about this. You already know what we're going to do. Golly, you don't tell the owner of the world that. That is not the right answer. But since I've learned something by reading and studying my Bible, these guys were so politically correct all the time. These fellows were so culturally sensitive to all the different nations that were there. I appreciate them so much. They answer just like I would, just like I have in the past. And the reason I answer sometimes, the when I'm in front of these Nebuchadnezzars and golden images and fiery furnaces, is because these boys did. God doesn't change. Just nations and politics change. Verse 17. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And He will deliver us. Now see, that's the thing you're going to have to deal with in your heart. These boys understood there is two remedies to the solution. There is. There's two remedies. God will either give it to us the way we want it, or it may not be very tasteful to our flesh, but it doesn't matter. We will be delivered. Now I'm going to tell you a story that's going to set some of you right on your ear. And it's an on-purpose, calculated thing I'm doing here. Just now over in New Zealand, this pastor's wife, dying with cancer. I go in there. Didn't want to do it. Told them, don't let me go in and pray for this lady. Said, I don't want to do it. I said, because the God I serve is going to stop the suffering. She will be delivered. Don't let my right hand touch her anywhere. Because we have a custom in Mexico. Deliverance will come, but it may not be what we exactly are looking for. And that pastor says to me, the leadership of the whole movement said to me, doesn't matter, we want you to touch her. I said, did you hear what I said? She will be delivered. Freedom will come to the lady. I don't even know her. I have no emotional ties to her. The thing that's got me here is, she will be healed or she will be set free to be with Jesus. She will not suffer anymore. I said, we want you to pray. It's been 3.5 years. She suffered tremendously. The family, the church, da-da-da-da. I said, okay. Y'all talk to the pastor. It's y'all's business. And the day finally came. I get there. I walk into the house. walk. There's elders there, elders' wives there. There's people from the church there. There's nurses there. There's lots of people here. I walk right straight up to the pastor. It was my first time to ever see him in my life. I look over to his wife, suffering on the bed. And I said to him, "Listen to me, sir. Total respect to you and your family. I've got to tell you, your wife is going to be set free. Now, you have to understand something. It may not be that she will be brought to perfect health in the next few minutes, but she will not suffer anymore." Just as sternly as I've ever been talked to in my life, he looked at me and he said, "So be it." And I grabbed him by the lapel, by the shirt, and drawed him right up close. I said, "Man, I'm talking about your wife." He said, "Man, I'm talking about her freedom." I let him go and straightened his shirt. He understood. "Sir." I said, "Okay." Went over there, opened his Bible was laying there, opened, used his Bible, read her several chapters in the Bible, called my wife and daughter over there, and the elders that were there, laid my hands across the top of her hurting head. She was suffering, man. "Lord Jesus, help us." She came to. She looked at her husband, gave him a smile, went back away, and was gone. She died. Less than 15 minutes. Y'all in here that know about cancer patients, you know about the stuff. The kids were there. All four of her children were present. Pastors were there. Elders were there. We wanted the demon out, the tumor gone, and her to rise up out of that bed. That's what we wanted for us. You understand that? So now we sit there. The daughter, she's 20, I think she was 22 or so. She comes over there and grabs me on the shirt. "You pray for my mama to come back here." I said, "No problem, darling. You go around us out of that bed, you pray with me." So for the next 2 hours and 15 minutes, we asked Jesus to bring her back. We prayed that God would raise her from the dead. She did not come back. The daddy left the room probably an hour and 50 minutes or so. He left. He was ready to let her go. The daughter wasn't. So the problem of life is this. In those kind of situations, if we don't stay united, we'll end up fighting in a minute. Lifetime wars are started in these kind of situations. The devil don't only want her dead, he wants that family busted up. The devil don't only want her dead, he wants that church busted up. He wants that sickness on everybody in that room and kill us all. Do you understand? So what do you do, Adam? I know. I reached across that dead woman and tapped that girl on the head. "Hey, listen to me. I think you need to go in there and get an agreement with your daddy. Your mama's free. It hurts our emotions. It hurts us. It doesn't look like to me. If you want more patience, I've got it. But it looks to me, after several hours of praying, like she's going to stay in glory. We're not going to get this one back." I said, "Now listen to me real close. But you need your daddy. You get your brothers and sisters, and y'all walk right in yonder, and you find out exactly what the will is of your daddy for this family, and you submit to it." She left. They all did. You're talking about a hard situation. Don't you ever think I'm not sensitive. Don't you ever think I don't have patience to deal with things. I mean, man, it takes the Holy Ghost to stay and do in these situations that are so hard. And in a minute she walked in there, she come over there, she kissed her mama square in the mouth. She said, "I love you, mama. I'll see you soon." And that was the end of that. She come around there, hugged me, my wife and my daughter. We excused ourselves because I had to preach in a few minutes at his church. The hardest thing I've ever done in my life is go preach at that church. I'm standing up there preaching. I decided the best antidote for this misery is the life of God. So I started preaching fireballs on the life of God. I mean, lot. Didn't get but just going. I look over to my left, and in the entryway is standing the pastor. But he's not alone. His whole family's there, minus the wife. The most admirable thing I've ever seen was to watch that man of God walk in just a few hours after his wife's decease. Come in, we cleared the front row. He sat down right in the front with him and his four children. And he sat right there and rejoiced in the glory of the life of God. One of the most awesome things I've ever seen in my life. It was the hardest thing I've ever done ministerially to preach that message. But I did it anyway. I grew up several years there in wisdom. Gave an altar call. The church didn't know. They were finding out as they came in. The place was a mess. I mean, emotions were on every end of the scale, going back and forth. I mean, it was hard to keep the thing running. So I asked if anybody would like to get born again. 8 people walked up. One of them was a 19-year-old boy, the pastor's son, who had just witnessed his mother die. Gave his life to Jesus. The greatest thing I've ever seen. I'm telling you, the sister, the daddy, the little brother and sister were just weeping with joy for the soul of their brother and their son. I'm telling you to hear me. There's victory and freedom whether it's the way you want it or not. We don't always get what we want. But I'm telling you to trust the Lord Jesus. Doesn't matter the furnace is roaring. It doesn't matter that the whole political system is against you. These things are not important. What's important is the freedom of the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you another thing. My 19-year-old daughter who's just released into life, she's getting married here in a few weeks, and oh man, she was there when that thing happened. She was writing in her diary. I don't think about it. She was writing in her diary the whole time I was there. So my wife took that diary and was looking at it. You know what she wrote at 5 o'clock in the afternoon that day? I know that my daddy is a man of God. How about that? Think of that. Think of what I just said to you. It's awesome. Pretty awesome. The powers of heaven. And how they hit people. And how they transform people. Even though it's not what we necessarily wanted. It wasn't what I wanted. I've seen him hit those tumors and knock them out instantly. Just happened in Tancasawela right before I left the country. Woman with a tumor for years. Bam! Healed. I mean, I know. I wanted that. That's not what I got. It's time that we wake up and become sober, church. Instead of drugged with materialism and materialistic ideas and goofy ideas that are just not working. Man, God's truth is reality. His sovereign hand is, you are going to submit to it. You may not agree with it, you may run for a while from it, but eventually you have to submit to the sovereignty of God. Of course I wanted her healed a different way. Of course I wanted her up. I wanted her. Oh, man. I didn't get what I wanted. It doesn't change my belief in God one bit. As a matter of fact, it adds to it. As a matter of fact, He's in control and we're not. As a matter of fact, Jesus is King. Punto final. So be it. Verse 18, but if not. Now see, this is what we got. And this is what we're living with in that particular situation. But if not, be it known unto you, O King, that we will not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image that you've set up. I'll tell you, I may not get what I want. But I know this one thing. I have seen the powers and hand of God. I am not bowing. That's just the way it is. It's real. It may not come the way I want it. I'm telling you, most things are not the way I want them. Man, I got my ideas and they seem like good ideas, but somehow or another they don't come to pass sometimes. And I seem to have a bunch of scripture to prove it. So what I want you to get a hold of after all of these days is the truth is the important thing. Strapping your heart and your flesh to the plow of heaven and just longing after the courts of God, being thirsty for heaven regardless of the manifestation. Whether glorious, I've been in thousands of glorious manifestations. Probably now, maybe 100,000 probably. But I want you to know something. I've been in just as many failures. Could be more failures. But I'm telling you, the thing that keeps me motivated is the truth of the gospel. It's the power of heaven. It's not how much righter. You're better than me. I'm better. That's immature. Heaven is awesome. God is real. And if He doesn't deliver me the way I want to be it known to you, demons from hell and principalities and powers, and friends and relatives of mine. We will not serve your gods. Me and my house are serving the living God. Nor will we worship the golden image. And Nebuchadnezzar, I want you to notice the difference in verse 13. His rage and fury. Now look at verse 19. Nebuchadnezzar was full now of rage, of fury. And the form of his countenance or visage, he changed completely. Now he don't like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego no more. We're not buddies anymore. I'm telling you that friendship is a temporary thing. Surprise you how quick people come and go out of your life and what makes that happen. That's why friendship is not the Holy Ghost. That's why kinfolks is not the Holy Ghost. Jesus is the Holy Ghost. It says right here, boy, he got mad at him. He said, heat up that thing. He did seven times. He got the mightiest men of his army and tied them all up, carried them over there, threw them in the furnace. And, I mean, tied them up with the hats and coats on and everything. Verse 21, throwed them in the fire, and the men that carried them over there in 22, they were all killed. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fell down in the fire, and it was burning. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished. You want to astonish Babylon? You want to astonish the powers of the darkness? You stand for righteousness and tell them to burn you if they can. The Holy Ghost will come and He'll set you free. It may not be the way you have set it out and mapped it out, but you'll get free. I'm telling you, one of my main pastors, actually two of my main pastors, but the one guy, he goes and he went to market one day and this pompous religious priest walked up to him and said to him, too many people are getting saved. You need to renounce Jesus Christ. You're taking away too many people from the church. He said, I will not.
He said, well, we will have to deal with you then, won't we? The next day he had 15 bullet holes through him and through his horse. The horse and he lay with their heads chopped off. You hear any price here? We lost a good horse. Martyrs are necessary. It was a bad thing to lose a horse. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're down in the thing. The king's astonished, and the counselors and everybody, hey, man, did we throw three men in the fire? Yep. Well, no, I see four. But look at that fourth guy. Who does he look like? The king just come right out of his mouth. Doesn't he look like the Son of God? Old Nebuchadnezzar, he walked over there just past the line and killed all of his great men. Hey, fellas. See, I want you to notice something about this fire. Even though it was strange fire from Babylon, even the king couldn't deal with it. They're not in control of that strange fire like they think they are. But God is. I'm telling you, the heat of the furnace can't get hot enough. The only thing happened to these boys was they had them bonds burned off of them. Freedom truly came. Even though it was the middle of strange fire of the devil, the Holy Ghost came in there and set those boys free. Awesome. This kind of preaching doesn't go very far in y'all's country. I realize that. I know that. But it's not going to stop me from telling you anyway. I have to look at you and tell you. The furnace is there. The golden images are there. If you bow to the image, you'll be burned in the same fire that you think by compromising you can get away from it. Don't ever forget that statement. I'm going to have to tell you. Compromise will burn you quicker than standing for God will. But I have to tell you, to this point in my life, I bear marks in my body of stonings, beatings, being drugged, being shot, being pushed, being thrown in rivers, being lots of things. Animal attacks. I mean, I can take you over to 2 Corinthians where Paul's suffering is. 2 Corinthians. I can take you over and read you that list. I've been in that stuff, every bit of it. But I still stand here and tell you that it doesn't matter. You should see it when little people get healed and saved. God, that's awesome. Yeah, it feels bad that I'm losing people. We've lost several people to martyrdom down there. I'm sorry to the families about that. It is the gospel that brought that about. It is true because we won't compromise. We won't bow. There will be more. We will pay full price. But the power and glory of God is worth full price. Yeah. It's worth it, church. I'm looking for new ways to pay more. I'm looking for new roads to walk down to give more of myself so that that Holy Ghost can run free through us. In the name of Jesus. Would y'all stand up, please, and let's pray together. Thank y'all for y'all's time and patience and everything else and putting up with all my hollering and shouting and screaming and bucking and carrying on. I'm going to have to ask you tonight. We've cut the water off from Sennacherib. Got the angel down in the lion's den with us. But I'm going to have to ask you tonight not to fear the strange fire of the devil. I'm going to have to ask you for some commitment. I'm going to have to. You do not have to respond. You will not hurt my feelings. You won't. I'm going to do it with you. And I'm going to do it without you. Just the way it is. I've got to go to the cross. And I want you to go with me, church. I really believe that if we could get a grip on this,
You do not have to go to Mexico to do this. You do not have to go anywhere. You have to go to the cross. That's where you have to go. Is to the cross. What a God. Let the truth have you. Now, first thing I want to do is see if there's somebody here that don't know Jesus is Lord. If they have not confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior, I'd like to invite you down here to do that. Is there anyone that needs to get born again here? Would you please come down in Jesus' name? Is there somebody that needs Jesus as Lord and Savior? Would you please walk down here and we'll pray with you and Jesus will touch you. And that mighty Holy Ghost will bless your life forever and ever, eternally. Is there someone here that needs Jesus? Would you please come? Would you look around your church and ask somebody, please? And walk down here with them and invite them up here to the cross. The mighty Holy Ghost will help them. In Jesus' name. Would you please look around you? Be very respectful and just say, hey, would you like to come accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Jesus' name, Holy Ghost. What a wonderful God. Jesus is King. Hallelujah. Is there anyone? Would you please come? Jesus' name. I'll sing a song. Yeah.